The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I should be writing number 498.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching Doctor.
Hi there. Welcome to I Should Be Writing, the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. I bet you didn't expect to hear from me so soon, did you? Haha, fooled you. Now I'm trying to get back on things, getting stuff done, all that stuff. Today I'm going to be covering some questions that I have brought up by the Patreon supporters in the Discord. If you want to support the Patreon and get into the Discord, you only need to support at the dollar level, and then you can do that at patreon.com/mightymer. I'm trying to record in batches, which is good because I get a lot done, but bad because I can't honestly tell you how my writing is going. But hopefully next week I'll be able to update you on a couple of things. So first I asked the Discord what they wanted me to talk about, and we got job search encouragement for the time of COVID. God, well, encouragement, yeah. It's best of luck. Keep your chin up. Keep working. And, yeah, it's terrifying out there. One thing I might say is consider, I mean, there are places that are hiring now because of COVID. And I'm betting they're not going to keep those people through the time after COVID. For example, the people who do the personal shopping in grocery stores. And that might be a place to get some temporary work while you look for a new job. Otherwise, I mean, I'm not a job person. I have no idea what it's like out there. But I will say, if you do get an interview, follow their requirements regarding COVID to the letter. I don't care if you think that masks are stupid or a weak thing or a liberal conspiracy, but if your prospective employer wants you to wear a mask, you wear a mask. There's some things that people, following basic instructions is a big deal. You know, the joke about, I think it was Van Halen or Aerosmith or somebody who insisted on the special M&Ms. Like, they needed a bowl of M&Ms of one color in the green room. And of course, the rumors got out that they were such divas. That is not why they did it. They did it because they knew if they had a bowl of M&Ms in there that they asked for, that everything else in their contract would also have the same attention paid to it. And since they put on huge shows that required a lot of lighting and stage support, they couldn't afford to cut any corners. So if somebody didn't have the M&Ms, they knew that they probably didn't read the rest of the contract fully. Along the same lines, I had a friend who was, she was in charge of QA at a game company, and she had a thing to fill out for beta testers. And it doesn't matter how much experience you had, if you couldn't fill out her basic beta testing questionnaire, you would not get chosen because She would need you to do a very specific thing to beta test the game. I have no idea why anybody wants to beta test anything, because it's basically like, take this thing that's probably broken and find out how it breaks. That's not play a game. That's also play this level 27 times and see if you can find all the ways to break it. That's not fun. So, anyway, that's just my little aside. But yeah, it's like, she would, of course, look at your experience, but she would also look at the fact that can you answer the questions she's asked you? And so, when you follow submission guidelines, when you follow whatever anybody's asking you to do during COVID to keep them safe, by following those directions, you're communicating, I have read what you require of me, and I respect what you require of me. Even if people don't actively say, like my friend did, even if they don't actively say, this is how things are, and I will judge you if you do not do this, there are a lot of people who still practice that. They practice that concept. So, follow submission guidelines, follow any rules any interviewer has of you. If it's an interview that's online, make sure you have the specs that they want. If they want to use Zoom, download Zoom and figure out how to use it. I don't know anybody who wouldn't know how to use Zoom at this point, but there's probably somebody out there. If they want you to come in, do whatever social distancing and masking things that they require of you. And I would say even if they don't require it of you, still do it, because come on, man, there's a pandemic out there. But as for anything else, get up in the morning at the same time every day. Put on your pants. Sorry, UK people. Put on your trousers. And treat your day as if you are still working. Because when you don't do that, that's when the depression can start to overcome you. I mean, yoga pants and pajama pants are lovely and comfortable, but they also encourage a certain amount of sloth and relaxation that perhaps you don't want to have when you're working. And even if you're not working, if you're looking for work, you're going to want to have that mentality. That old dress for the job you want kind of thing. If your job requires you to wear a three-piece suit, then wear the three-piece suit. And then when you're done looking for a job, take the three-piece suit off. Or keep wearing it if you're one of those weirdos who just really likes to be all fancied up. I'm sorry I can't give further career advice, but that's not really my wheelhouse. But I do wish everybody luck. Everybody who's listening to this who's in the horrible position of having to look for a job right now. Somebody asked, do you want to touch on the current publishing pay stuff? Now, for mental health reasons, I have been staying off of Twitter lately, but I checked into the whole publishing paid me thing. And unfortunately, it does show how publishing will throw great heaps of money on a debut white writer just cause. Usually a debut white male writer just cause. While women or people of color or other marginalized people will get less payment. And I haven't been very forthcoming about my deals. I am fully aware that when women talk about how much they're paid, there's always somebody out there who's going to say, you're not worth it. If your book sells, your next advance should be larger. That's the way the concept should go. N.K. Jemisin had some really interesting things to say about it, because she put all of her advances out there. And she says she prefers royalties to advances, because royalties you can count on. Advances you can't. You don't know when the next advance is going to come. Royalty gets paid every 6 months or so. And I'm on the same level. Not the same level as N.K. Jemisin. I mean, the same opinion. I will say that my first book deal with Orbit was a 2-book deal. They were unhappy with how those books sold, so the next offer was a 1-book deal for 33% less than one of the books in the first offer, and that was 6 Wakes. So that was funny because it sold so much better than the other two did, and also I earned out in 4 months. So there's the good part about low advances. If your book does sell well, then you're going to be getting royalties really early. My current deal with Ace is a 3-book deal, not necessarily a trilogy. We'll see how they like the first one. 4 more. That was, I believe, by Publishers Weekly. The phrase is nice, I think. I think it was a nice deal. They have little code words. I'm going to look that up. Hang on. No, it was a very nice deal. And I'm hoping those books will also sell well. Minecraft and Solo were the biggest advances I'd gotten yet. I will get royalties on Solo, but I'll just go ahead and say that the percentage is so low, haha, that's a pun, that it's going to take a long time before that earns out. And it's not because the advance was so large, it was because the royalty percentage is tiny. But it's better than Minecraft, because Minecraft was work for hire. So I got paid one amount, and it doesn't matter how good the book does. So when the book doesn't do that well, it's great. And when the book takes off, it's, oh, well, it's not quite as good, but still. It was still money that came in at a good time, and I'm grateful for it. It was fun to work on. So that's about all I'm comfortable talking about. I think anybody willing to talk about their income is very brave. And I urge you to look that up online, because you know, you'll see some people who got so much money, and you're wondering why. And also, it seems there's just a lot unfair about it, especially when it comes to marginalized voices, and how publishers seem to be more comfortable with white people writing marginalized voices in a way that appeals to white people, instead of a marginalized voice telling their own story in a real way that might actually force a white person to open up their eyes and see something. So let's go into the email. Larry asks, if it's not clear in the submission guidelines, how long should I wait before I assume a book is a pass? I wouldn't. I would query after 3 months. Querying after 3 months, did you get it? Have you received it? Just wanted to make sure it got there okay. If you've had a chance to look at it, looking forward to your answer, thanks for your time, all that stuff. And then, if you don't hear from them in 3 months, ask again. I never know if it's okay to talk about people's names, but one person says, when I said a couple of episodes back that I was proud for the 500 words I'd written that day, my heart stopped because of you, Mer Lafferty, a published working author and grounded, dedicated podcaster. That's funny, I don't feel that way, but thank you. Can be happy with that, and that means I can be happy with that too. Daily goal I'd set for myself was minimum 500 words and minimum 20 minutes of editing. I'm at the point right now where I'm wanting consistency. If I can do a couple of words a day, or a couple hundred words a day, and a little bit of time editing, that's better than nothing. It's always better than nothing. So shooting for consistency is more important than me than a big, huge word count. So I recommend that. I'm still not there, but I'm working on it. So I encourage you to work on it too. Cory Doctorow, I don't know what he does now, but I know for the longest time he was doing 250 words a day. 250 words a day, 365 days a year, that's a novel. That all adds up. So, yeah, good luck. I'm glad you've given yourself permission to only write a little bit, because still, better than nothing, I'm telling you. Okay, somebody writes, I'm submitting my short stories. I've got a few rejections, but I'm taking it in stride. Good for you. You are a working writer. That's all you need to tell yourself. This is what working writers do. One of the markets I'm submitting to said they have an average response time of 2 to 3 months, and that authors may inquire after 4 months. I'm about 3.5 months into waiting for a response at this time. I understand everything is nuts now, so I want to be extra patient. I'm getting in my head. Do you think it's a good idea to inquire about the process, or what might negatively reflect on my work in some way? Would your opinion change if we were not going through the pandemic? Are you... See, I don't quite understand the question. So if you want to write back and qualify it, but it sounds like you're saying you want to ask them before they reject you why they would reject you, which I don't think is a good idea. And if they do reject you, are you saying you should inquire about their process, why they did? I don't think that's a good idea either. I am also an editor, and I've already talked about how hard it is for me to focus on writing. Everything is suffering right now. Focus, time, it's all suffering, including my editing. I think you need to look closely at the submission guidelines, because that will tell you a couple of the things that will get your story rejected. I think you need to wait for the rejection, if it comes, and read what they have to say. And let me tell you a little secret. This is not right for our magazine means exactly that. For example, with Escape Pod, we gotta have stories that sound good in audio. There are some stories that are brilliant out there, but not good in audio. So we have to reject those. We try to go for, on average, more uplifting stories than not. So if your story is brilliant, but super depressing, or has a lot of heavy themes in it, we're not gonna choose it. Doesn't matter how brilliant it is, it's not for us. And maybe it's perfect for the magazine, but they just bought two stories just like it. They only have so much money in their budget, and so they can't be buying. They'd want to put a bunch of stories between all of these similar stories, so that means they would be buying well into next year. Maybe they don't have the budget for that. Maybe your story is perfect, but they don't have the budget for a story that long. Maybe they're running low and they're looking for more reprints. There's so many factors that can go into a rejection that have nothing to do with you, which kind of sucks. But, you know, it can also make you not feel like it's your fault. It's just kind of like poop happens. If the story is good, it will find a home. You just need to find the right home for it. All right, I think I have covered the rest of these. If you asked a question and I did not answer it, go ahead and send it to me again, because I am scatterbrained and should probably track these. Maybe I should put them in the answered, make a new folder and call them answered questions. That's a good idea. Anyway, if you have a question for me, write mightymer@gmail.com. You can see the blog and show notes at merverse.com, where you can also see my books that you can buy to support me. If you also want to support me in other ways, you can support the Patreon at patreon.com/mightymer, where you can get access to the archives, access to the Patreon-only Discord, and I'm making the Crowdcast open to everybody right now, but that will eventually become a Patreon-only. Thank you for listening. Keep your chin up. Keep making stuff. This'll end someday, because you should be writing. So back in the day, we used to trade promos on podcasts and help promote other shows, and I decided I wanted to start doing that again. But I wanted to tell you this week about Megasheen, which is a bi-weekly podcast helmed by Nick and Victor. They discuss gay and geek culture from a black queer perspective and are available on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. So check them out, Megasheen, and I'll have a link in the show notes. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. But I should be writing.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.